from Neurotech, from ESCOM, PMG. Oh, good morning, everyone. I apologize for arriving late. You know, I was in another meeting with the team. I'm not going to waste time. We are today going to have a presentation from the Department of Communications. And our request, I think it was clear on what we want as the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. Because usually every year, we get the presentation and we actually like getting everything every year. And we don't get actually the successes of what was implemented, and we don't get the challenges exactly why was this not implemented, and the provincial information. So I think today it's going to be short, straightforward, so that members can engage with the presentation. And I think we all know each other, but I think I see new faces that wasn't here before. You are all welcome to the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. You know, this is the committee from the National Council of Provinces. So you are more than welcome. I'm Priscilla Temba, the chairperson of this committee, representing Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Herman Groenewald, also a member of this committee and representing the Northwest Province.
I'm Wesela Jacobs, representing the Free State.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Rodam Lenda, I'm representing the province of the Eastern Cape.
Good evening, Chairperson, and good morning, everybody. My name is Dirk Sarkman. I'm from Gauteng, member of the committee.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning, Honourable Members. From my side, my name is Harold Wessel, and I'm the Acting DG for Department of Communications.
Mondis Kukuni, Deputy Minister, Parliamentary Office.
Sorry, Chair. It's Farhad Osman from the Strategic Planning Unit of the Department of Communications.
Morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Sam Vilagazi. I'm the Acting Deputy Director General responsible for Finance and Enterprise Development.
Good morning, Chair. I'm also from Mpumalanga. Nice to see you. I'm the Acting DDG in the Department of Communications. My name is Temba Piri. Thank you.
My name is Mantikele Monama, in the Office of the Director General, responsible for Parliament, Cabinet, and Special Programs.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Kuben Governor. I'm the PLO to the Minister.
Matalam Bonela from ESCOM, also from the Province of the People East Cape.
That way. Yeah.
Morning, Chair. Denzel Bowman, responsible for government liaison at Neotel.
Good morning. My name is Renelle Barreto. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, and the Department of Communications. My name is Pumelele Sibisi. I'm the committee secretary. We thank everybody who have introduced himself and herself. Can we get the department to start presenting, please?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think we have a problem with the slides, but we will work on that. I assume that everyone has a copy of the presentation. Yes. Yes.
Of communication, we will get the reason later. Acting.
Hey.
No one is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sounds like Hollywood. But we will get there soon. We have our people on board. Chairperson, the letter that we have received indicated that we need to talk a little bit about the past, but then also about the future and the challenges, and also going into the future, how this committee can assist the department in achieving more and achieving better in the provinces. Now, of course, all the work that we're doing is happening in provinces, but I think what we need to do in future is to really map our activities in the different provinces so that the committee can see what is actually happening in towns, in villages, in much more detail. I will present an overview, and my colleagues will then also fill in terms of what is happening at the provincial level. So we will, as far as possible, indicate to you what we're doing in the different provinces as well, as far as it is possible. So what I will do, Honorable Chairperson, is to give you an overview of what has happened the last financial year, 10-11. And, of course, our focus at the moment is on 11-12. Also, just to mention right at the beginning, my presentation will be a high-level overview to ensure or to give you a sense of our focus in this financial year. We have a number of flagship projects, and I think it's important that we share those with you. The detail you will find in the strategic plan of the department, and also you will see in the document from page 31 onwards, there's an annexure A, and the annexure A is a detailed summary of what you will find in the strat plan of the department. Now, our presentation is based on the detail of the strat plan, but is presented in such a way that you will see what our clear focus is for the next financial year. So the detail is there, and we will lift out some of the key areas for our activities. Now, what we will first do, Chairperson, is to give you a sense of our key achievements during the 2010-11 financial year, what we've achieved, what we've done, and this is really in broad outline so that we can get to the next financial year. Now, I think there are a few things that we've achieved during the 10-11 year. And that is the first one there is the Public Service Broadcasting Bill, the second draft bill and the separate money bill on the funding of the public broadcaster was developed. It was, however, withdrew, when the new minister came on board. And we're going through a new policy review process at this point in time. Also, just to mention, I forgot the apology from the minister. He is currently attending cabinet, so he asked us to apologize on his behalf. Then we've done the SAPU bill, and the SAPU bill is currently, you know, we've done the bill and it's currently being deliberated on within the Portfolio Committee on Communications. As you know, a great achievement last year was the post-bank bill that was signed by the President into law during the third quarter of last year. Next. We also have the ICASA amendment bill that we've dealt with during the last financial year. Now, this amendment bill is, of course, very important. It deals with structural arrangements within the ICASA Act. It also deals with funding matters, compliance matters, and also the issue of whether members of the council should be full-time members. So those are the ICASA amendment bill. It is very important for the entire industry that we relook at some of the issues there. Broadband, you know, we have approved an approved broadband policy by cabinet, and work has started to get provinces and local authorities to start working together. I think that is a very important initiative, because we find that cities like Cape Town and Durban and Johannesburg, they all have broadband initiatives and not necessarily within an overall national strategy. And I think that that is important, that we start getting synergy between the different actors in this area. Then, of course, you know, a lot of energy went into the 2010 FIFA World Cup, and I think the Department of Communications had a major role in the success of the World Cup in terms of the technology that we provided in collaboration with our state-owned enterprises like Semtech, but also, of course, Telkom. Next. Of course, we, although there was a delay in the rollout of the broadcast and digital migration project, the DTT infrastructure, we have done a lot of work in the background, we're working now on coverage of the DTT infrastructure of 60% by April 2011. So we've worked hard last year, the Centec, to ensure that we get ready for switch off in 2030. But of course, there was a delay caused by the announcement of the technology that we will use. On the SMME side, we have worked, you know, despite the delay in the announcement, we worked hard on the SMME set-top box strategy for small businesses. As you know, the whole idea about the DDT rollout is also to involve our small and medium micro enterprises in this process, and a strategy has been worked on. That is, at this point in time, ready to go to cabinet. We also developed an ICT rural development strategy, and Mr. Temba Piri can talk more about that. I think it is also where a lot of interest will be from the province side, as to exactly how ICTs can be used in rural areas to facilitate development and to improve the quality of lives of people there. We had successful launched hospital websites, as you can see there, in a number of provinces. Again, we can provide you with more detail in that regard. Next.
So what we will do next, Honorable Chairperson, if you just give you a sense of the 10-11 financial performance and also the financial performance to date. And I hand over to Mr. Sam Lakasi.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much, Acting DG. I'm just going to present to the committee briefly the the committee the expenditure to date against the allocation for the financial year 2011. That will be on slide number 8. Honorable Chair, the department was allocated 2.138 billion for the 2010-11 financial year. It was divided as follows, and there are six programs within the department. The first program is the administration, which was allocated 159, ICT International Affairs and Trade 44 million, ICT Policy Development 80, and the transfers to MDTA 21 million, ICT Enterprise Development 13 million, that is for SME component as well as the oversight function. The balance of 1.6 billion goes to the entities, which I will actually indicate later in terms of which entity got how much. Infrastructure development, 66 million, emergency call center, 111 million, and the PNC, 34 million. That makes up 2.138 billion. In terms of expenditure, including the commitments to date, Honorable Chair, the administration has spent, including commitments, 94%. The commitments are actually indicated there to say the expenditure is 85%, the commitment 12 million, and the percentage right on the extreme or on the extreme right will indicate the expenditure including commitments, which are currently being cleared off. ICT International 75%, ICT Policy Development 69%. And the transfers 96%. ICT Enterprise Development on the SME and Oversight Function 67%. And then also, once again, transfers under ICT Enterprise Development 79%. Infrastructure Development 58%. Emergency Call Center, there's only 1.9%. This is a project that was put on hold, Honorable Chair, sometime last year. And there's a small amount of 1.5 million which has been transferred in totality, and there's the last program, which is PNC, which has done 78. Based on the expenditure, the actual expenditure, that is money that has left the department, including the commitments that are currently being paid now, the percentage comes to about 75%, all in all. The next slide, I think there's a repetition there. Slide number 10 deals with the spending which relates to goods and services for the department. That is minus the transfers to entities. Based on the six programs, the allocations, as indicated the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the administration branch with 89 million, sitting slightly at 108. ICT International Affairs and Trade. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that the administration branch deals mainly with the support functions within the department, the HR, and so on. ICT International Affairs and Trade, sitting at 84%, that includes the commitments that have been cleared off as well. ICT Policy Development, 44%, slightly low there. ICT Enterprise Development, 80%. ICT Infrastructure 41, PNC 74, all in all, spend including commitment, just roughly around 78%, if I round it off. On the transfer to the entities, that is the 1.6 billion that I was referring to, Honorable Chair. The first entity being SASA there, their transfer has been effected 100%. USAF, only 17% has been done. The reason being that there's a huge amount of 180 million, which is meant for set-top box subsidies, but because the project has not kick-started due to the delay in the DTT standards, that's why the percentage is slightly low. ICASA, their transfer is 100%. SAPO subsidy, it's on track, 92.6%, it is 22 million, will actually be transferred by end of this month. SABC Public Broadcaster, their transfer has been effected. Channel Africa, their transfer has also been effected. Centec digitization, there's a bit of a delay there. The reason being that some of this money, in fact, the bulk of this money relates to the DTT, and because of the issues around the standards as well as the spectrum plans that was inconsistent with the ICASA spectrum plan, this money could not be utilized. But since that matter has since been addressed, and this money should be cleared off. NEMISA, their transfer is 100%. Telkom, there is 150 million, which is meant for legacy projects, which will be transferred by end of this month. So that will be on track. SABC program production of 15 million, everything has been transferred. SABC community radio stations, about 87.6 has been transferred. So Honorable Chair, I can safely say that most of the entities have actually received their funding, except those entities that had to rely on the DTT standards and the spectrum plans having to be reconciled. I'll stop there. Thank you.
So, Honourable Chairperson, you will notice that the delay in the announcement of the DTT standards played a significant role in some of the areas of spending. But it has been resolved now, and it's full steam ahead. Also, you will remember that the problems that the department experienced last year in terms of the DG and the change of guard in the department, and that also had a major impact on spending. So in the last 5-6 months, we worked hard on our projects and programs to spend our money properly. So, Mr. Chairperson, that is the first half or first section of our presentation. I don't know whether you would like to deal with questions and issues now or whether we continue.
Well,
Mr. Chairperson, it's a natural reaction.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I think let's get the whole presentation.
Yeah.
So that when we ask questions, from certain and relevant. I welcome the Honorable Mabija. Honorable Mabija is representing Limpopo. And Honorable Sibande is representing Mpumalanga. So that you know our province. Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. So what we will do now is to give you a sense of the departmental strategy going forward, 11-12. And the first few slides will be contextual, I think, just to give you a sense of how we, for the next financial year, position the department in terms of the broader scheme of things, and then we'll deal with the focus areas, and as I've indicated, the detailed interventions are in the annexure, and also, of course, you'll find it in the departmental strategic plan. To start with, Honourable Chairperson, I think it's important for Honourable Members to understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing in the department in terms of our mandate, in terms of our mission and our vision. Now, in terms of our mandate, the department is supposed to create a vibrant ICT sector. That is ICT sector in its totality in the country. In terms of our mission, I think a key word there is building an inclusive information society. Also, sometimes we talk about an inclusive knowledge-based economy. So the DOC is important for DOC to position itself within the future, and we will talk about that as we go on.
And then in terms of our vision is to make sure that all our people in the country, those who can, develop ICTs, it's important, but also the users. And there we talk about the nation. So we reduce, it deals with all of these things leading into the future, and we have to get our nation ready and our economy ready to be able to operate and function within a new technology environment. Next. So I think it's important that we just, all of us, get on the same sheet. And this slide just indicates that over the past 200 years, globally, we've developed from what's called an agrarian age through an industrial age into what is known today as the information age. And in this information age, we also talk about the e-world. We talk about e-government and e-learning and e-education, e-business, e-commerce, everything e, referring to the foundational importance of information and communication technology. But it's also to understand that some countries, while they've dealt with the e-world, they now also talk about the u-world. 5-7 years ago, for example, South Korea had a program called E-Korea. They now have a program called U-Korea. The U stands for ubiquitous, meaning that ICTs is inherent in society. It's always there, it's always on, and it's, the whole environment is being centralized. So that is just to give also a sense of the future workforce. If you look at this red line here, it is showing that the future workforce will be within the context of this information society. Information work and ICT-based work is becoming very important. Next. What is also important for you to understand the work that we're doing is that if we have to build an inclusive information society, it's not only important for us to focus on ICT infrastructure. Many people think that if you put fiber in the ground or if you provide people access to infrastructure, that is actually information society. It is not. It is also to do with the services that we pump through all these fiber optic. It's also about the institutions that we have to build in society. But it's very, very important is actually the last level, and that is how we deal with ICTs within the context of urban and rural. And that is why there's a very strong focus in the department on ICTs and the rural environment. Because if we only focus on the infrastructure, that's only part of the problem that we're dealing with. We need to make sure that ICTs are also used. Next. And this is just also to indicate to you that in its evolution to this information society, knowledge-based economy, the ITU in a recent report indicated how things must be put together in order to have an impact on society. So it's not only about ICT infrastructure and access. It's not only about giving people computers in Tusong centers or at a post office and so on. What's also very important is the use of those computers to benefit society, and very importantly is the skills that must impact on ICT use. So collectively, access, use, and skills, if you do that properly, you can have an impact in terms of building this inclusive information society and knowledge-based economy. So the DOC, in its focus areas, is focusing on these elements in order to get an impact. Next. And this is actually, honorable members, a slide indicating that, you know, where we've come, we came from an environment where we have to write with a feather. Through the internet, we are today in this kind of world. The world of Google, the world of Yahoo, the world of YouTube, Mixit, the world of Twitter, and this is a world that we also have to consider in our work. So it's not only about telecommunications, it's also about what this is called the social media world that we're in, and how we develop policies and strategies to accommodate this new world that we're in. Next. So what will follow, that were merely slides, Minister, to provide, Honourable Chairperson, to provide a context for the work that we will be doing going forward in the national, in the next financial year, and even during the MTEF period. Now, in our overview, if we look at our strat plan, our medium-term strategy, we have 8 strategic goals. It is very important for us this year or the next financial year to be focused, and rather to have a smaller number of goals, and we have 17 strategic objectives. And within those objectives, we have a number of strategic targets that we will talk about. Now, these strategic goals and objectives are to be realized through the achievement, as I've said, a number of 3-year targets, which in turn contribute towards the government outcomes. Now, the government outcomes, you know, the 12 outcomes approved by Cabinet. So all departments must work very hard to contribute to government, to the government outcomes. So it's no longer that departments can do what is nice, but really to do and to consider that what you're doing will create jobs, will improve the quality of life of people within the context of government, the government's 12 outcomes. The 3-year targets are then allocated, as Mr. Osman has indicated, across the 6 programs of the department, and in certain instances, the achievement of these targets requires close collaboration with our department entities. And this is also very, very important, that we make sure that our SOEs, you know, become part of departmental strategic outlook, deliver according to government outcomes, and that departments should provide leadership there. Now, not only our SOEs, I think we should also provide leadership to our partners in the private sector, our partners in civil society, because we have a big job to position the department to deliver on what we have to deliver for the future. Next. The next section will deal with, Honourable Chairperson and members, how we strategically align the department's programs with the important government plans and policies and strategies. And I think a lot of work has been done over the past few months to make sure that what we do is in alignment with the government program. Now, the 6, the 12 outcomes that we were talking about, and, you know, you also know the medium-term strategic framework, the MTSF, all our work is based or can be linked to what is expected from us in terms of the 12 outcomes. Now, the 12 outcomes, as you've seen there, is about improving quality basic education, a long and healthy life, for the people in the country to feel safe, decent employment, a skilled and capable workforce, a responsive economic infrastructure network, for example, broadband, vibrant, equitable, sustainable rural communities, a responsive local government, the way that we use our natural resources should be sustainable. We need to create a better South Africa, a better Africa and the world, so our involvement in Africa is important. And then also, lastly, number 12, to develop an efficient and effective development-oriented public service. Now, all of these outcomes must find entry into the department, the department's work. And what we will, and, you know, also we have the minister's performance agreement and delivery agreements. All of those things must find a place in the work of the department. So the outcomes for us, the 12 outcomes of government are very, very important for us as point of departure. But, of course, there are other elements that we also have to consider. As I've indicated, the medium-term strategic framework, together doing more and better. That is why partnerships are becoming important for the Department of Communications. Not only our SOEs, but also our partners in the private sector and civil society. There's also the new growth path that we have to focus on, and in particular, apart from job creation and our contribution to job creation, we have a specific focus also on the green economy. That's one of the six focus areas of the new growth path, and we can talk about that as well. But then there are also international programs that we have to focus on and to make sure that what we're doing in terms of these international programs also flow into the 12 outcomes of government. And here we talk about the Millennium Development Goals, because in 2015 we will be measured as to what we've done in the country in terms of the Millennium Development Goals, in particular ICT as well, so we have to keep our eyes on that. And also the World Summit on the Information Society, we have to report in 2014 what we've done to implement the action lines of the World Summit on Information Society. So you can get a sense that it is very important, very hard work to position the strat plan of the department within the context of all these different programs. Next. And even to make it more complicated, to give you a sense, you know, the kind of work that goes into developing the strat plan, we also have to consider the Lekgotla, the January Lekgotla. We have to consider the State of the Nation address, what the minister, the president has announced. We have to consider the minister's own priorities, and we have, we do this, you know, we indicate here that these are the outcomes that we refer to, and these outcomes here, 1, 3, 4, 6, and 7, are the outcomes that we included in the minister's performance agreement with the president. So we have to deliver on elements as far as it is concerned, but we can also deliver on the rest. And then, of course, fundamentally important is that whatever we do, we need to think about what we contribute to job creation. Now, the Department of Communications, it's difficult to create direct jobs, but in terms of supporting other departments and in the private sector, we can contribute to job creation indirectly. Next. What is also important, and we've started on this road, is to say, where are we going as a country? What is South Africa going to look like in 2020? Now, we didn't do it yet. I mean, we're starting this year to provide a baseline to see where are we now, and I will ask Mr. Piri to also talk about this later. Where are we now, and what is it that we have to put in place so that a country and a DOC can respond proactively to what there will be in 2020? Now, I can tell you, and the next slide will show it, that 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there was a prediction of technologies that we will have in 2015. Those technologies we have now. So this is just a slide to give you a sense of the WISIS, the MDGs, and so on. So in other words, there are already things that must happen coming into the future, and the strategic plan of the department is also geared towards that. The next slide. And this is a slide where, you know, in 2004, there was a study done, the Blue Peter study, and they indicated that in 2015, in South Africa, the technologies that will be available will be mobile, wireless, open source, human language technologies, telemedicine, geomatics. Now, these things are already with us today, okay? So there was a prediction 7 years ago that in 2015, these technologies, we have to prepare ourselves. Now, you can just imagine, sitting where we are today, what the technologies will be in 2020, what the world will be like in 2020. So it's important for the DOC to prepare itself to be proactive in terms of its programs in the provinces, in the rural areas, in urban areas, to make sure that in 2020 we are in a competitive environment in the world. And as you know,
many rankings, global rankings, indicate that we're actually declining. So there's a lot of work that must be done at different fronts to get us back into a leading position. Next. So what we've decided to do, to present to the select committee, is to say that, as I've indicated, the outcomes are important, the outputs in terms of the outcomes, the goals and objectives, and these areas are in detail dealt with in this the department's strategic plan. Now, what we will do now is to lift out of the strategic plan those areas that we've identified as flagship projects or key projects, and we will speak to them and provide some detail as we go along. And I think the next couple of slides will then focus on our interventions within the context of a focused plan to deliver on our mandate. Next. So first, we have identified six flagship projects, and these projects must be implemented. We will do our utmost to ensure that we have the funding, that we have the proper human resources to deliver on these flagship projects. And we're in the process to design our new organogram. It is also designed in such a way that we do not have to wait for people to be appointed. We have already skeleton capacity within the department to kickstart all of these projects. And, of course, we will have budget for these flagship projects as well. So the first project is about job creation. An ICT industry-wide working group on job creation will facilitate this. And as you've known, perhaps you know that the minister already met with the 30 big companies in the country to talk about the role of ICTs in job creation and also what the department can do to do that. And Mr. Peely, there's a slide on job creation that we will talk to later on. Of course, as I've indicated, e-skills is important. We have to skill our people, not only people to develop ICTs, but also the millions out there that need to use ICTs, and the department is establishing what is called the e-skills institute that will ensure that the nation is skilled through collaboration with universities, FET colleges, and other entities to improve the quality of life for people in terms of the use of ICTs, but also, very, very importantly, is to make sure that we deliver employment-ready students. At this point in time, we have a serious problem in the country that many of our young people are walking in the streets with degrees and diplomas. They can't find work, especially in ICT. And the idea is that we need to give them the right skills so they can find the jobs. We have to deliver 5 million jobs by 2020. It will be a disaster if we have the jobs and we don't have the people to work in those jobs. Broadband, I think, is very, very important for us. We have to, deal with this at a very high level in a very serious way. I've indicated it is already a broadband strategy. And the next financial year will see a much more focused attention given to broadband. With all of these undersea cables coming in, we see that the prices are going down. So broadband in the country, in particular, the rollout of broadband into rural areas, into the provinces, away from the big cities, will be high on the agenda. The fourth flagship project is, of course, the digital terrestrial television rollout in the country. You know by now that in 2013 we have to switch analog off and we have to switch digital on, and we now have to work very, very hard. I've indicated to you that we will table very soon the set-top box manufacturing strategy that will ensure that small and medium micro enterprises
will be part of this process in terms of job creation and wealth creation. The Post Bank this year will be high on the agenda, in particular its establishment, its rollout, its lending policies, its investment policies, its to make sure that we have these policies so that the majority of our people in the country can become bankable and can have access to funding through the Post Bank. And then, of course, lastly, rural connectivity through broadband, through wireless, through other means, through access centers are a key project for us in the next financial year. So we're not only focusing on those. I will talk about a few other key projects that we will focus on going into the future. Just to indicate to you some of the interventions under each of these under each of these flagship programs. For example, when we talk about broadband, we talk about an increase in broadband penetration. At the moment, we are at 2% in the country, broadband penetration. We look towards 10% in the next, in the next 3 years, that we need to increase that to 10%. Now, there is many issues around broadband penetration, whether we talk about wireless penetration and other means. I mean, this is fiber optic penetration at this point in time, but of course, many people have different ways of accessing broadband. We have to finalize the broadband strategy. That is important. This is big money we're talking about. For example, in Australia, they have a national broadband strategy that they're now implementing since last year, and they've budgeted $40 billion Australian dollars. We're not far behind in terms of developing strategies. The USA, a few months ago, a few weeks ago, published their broadband strategy. So we're in the mix as far as international global best practices are concerned in terms of grappling with the issues around broadband and broadband provision. We will also incorporate the broadband legislation in the ECA amendment bill. That is to be introduced in Parliament. And of course, very, very important is to finalize guidelines for the provinces and for municipalities so that we have synergy in the country. We've just heard that in the Free State, for example, there's for the next 5 years, I think, 40 billion rand budgeted for broadband rollout. The Gauteng, Johannesburg has just, you know, approved R1 billion to finalize their rollout. Cape Town has spent lots of money. So lots and lots of money is being spent on broadband without a national strategy to coordinate and to facilitate the rollout of this. So yes, that is high up on the agenda of the department. Next. Now, just to give you a sense of, you know, broadband is not only about technology, it's also about creating work. And creating work, if you have a broadband environment, you create work for network providers, for content providers, and also service providers. We will talk more about content. And with broadband, you impact on a number of things, including government, the health sector, education, business, entertainment. So it's very, very important broadband for the Department of Communication and a focus on that. Next. The Post Bank, as I've said, that is high on the agenda of the department. In particular, if we talk about the borrowing policy, the Post Bank is not being established as another bank, but it's really a bank for the poor. And the borrowing and investment and lending policies must be developed in such a way that the poor can get access, but it's still a bank that is profitable. So that is a balancing act that we will have to design. Next. Of course, I won't go into much detail here. It's about the rollout of the digital terrestrial television, the standard has been announced. The STB manufacturing process, we know where we're going. We need to understand how our small businesses can become involved in the manufacturing, and also what is important, how through the DTT we can actually establish in the country a revitalized electronic industry. There is scarcely an electronic industry in the country, so that is through the DTT program we will be able to create an industrial environment that will ensure that new jobs will be created and that wealth will be created as well. Next. E-Skills, the E-Skills Institute, in the next financial year, we will move towards really establishing the Institute in terms of skilling people, training people. We have performance agreements with a number of universities, with FET colleges, so we will use those institutions to e-skill people. We will develop the e-skill curricula and research programs, and in the interim, we will use our universities and FET colleges and other institutions to make sure that we massify the skilling of people in rural areas, wherever, you know, skilling can take place. We have a particular program for skilling. Next. You can skip that one. Then rural connectivity, a draft ICT rural development strategy has been developed. It is currently being distributed for comments and for discussion with our partners in government and elsewhere. We're also looking at an e-commerce portal in rural areas for small business, where small businesses can advertise their goods, where they can have access to services and so forth. And also, the idea is that we will establish in rural areas, focusing on current programs, but also new programs to establish digital hubs where people can use ICTs and can get access. Now, we know that there are many of these things around. Some are not so good. We saw some success stories. So we learn from these things going forward, and we will make sure that we implement appropriately. Also facilitated the rollout of power transmitters to cover 5 million inhabitants. One has been switched on, if I'm correct, in Witzenburg here in the Cape. The next one will be in a rural area in KZN, but I think there are more to come in other rural areas so that we can have people in rural areas can also have access or be connected to modern technologies. Next. And then job creation. And I think I'll ask Mr. Temba Piri to just take us through the next slide or two.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Dr. Vessel. I should just indicate that the department has a forum where MECs in the department participate. We call this the Intergovernmental Relations Forum. And we have several projects that we're actually implementing in provinces in support of our rural development engagement. Amongst this is how we sustain small-scale jobs, how we build capacity for young people. You may have seen recently that we have also did a launch for the program that we're implementing for young people, which we call Young Offenders. We have also developed websites, 180 websites in about 7 provinces except for Gauteng and Western Cape. We have also trained and ensured that about 384 young people can conduct their own small businesses through the cooperative. So this intergovernmental relations mechanism wherein MECs in provinces meet with minister to decide on a program of action on what needs to be done. I could just highlight there some of the challenges that we've faced with regards to this, largely relating to the fact that in other provinces you find that there's no clear allocated mandate for ICTs, and this often leads to ad hoc attention to the whole program of ICTs. And we do know that most of the rural provinces, just like other big provinces, do want to have infrastructure roll out in their communities and the people accessing information, including TV and radio. So, Chair, with regard to job creation, this is really work in progress. We have just developed plans on how we could contribute to the target set by the new growth path. It does set a target for this sector that by 2020 we must have created about 100,000 jobs. 100,000 jobs by 2020. Now, it is not only the work that revolves around the department, because as you know, ICT is a cross-cutting area, but it also includes other areas like biotechnology and ICTs in health, in education, and so on. So we have scoped what we could do within the understanding that we have very limited resources also to do these jobs. We did hear the President announcing and the Minister of Finance announcing the Jobs Fund, and it has not been clear as yet as to how that funding will actually be rolled out. But we have identified areas, for instance, as Dr. Vessel has already mentioned, areas around content hubs facilities, which have to be in 9 provinces. So we're looking at about 70 jobs created sustainably by having those kinds of facilities. We have a program which we are already implementing in several provinces. Just in 2009, we have trained about 252 young people to participate in that program that we refer there as digitization of cultural heritage content. We also have a focus now on digitizing the content that relates to military veterans' heritage stories. This kind of content has also shown that they bear very good heritage for people. They contribute to education and awareness about these matters. Broadband infrastructure, as the acting DG has said, is a very big program there. We have now been allocated funding that is quite significant to work on our strategy. However, we have not really quantified the direct relation in terms of rollout of infrastructure and then how many jobs we're going to create. But we do preempt that it should be possible for us in the preliminary to have that 7,880 jobs actually created. And these are small-scale projects that we're currently implementing in Singa here in KZN and some of the initiatives in the Free State, which talks to connectivity. Part of these are also the connectivity for schools and health centers. So those are at small scale preliminary, but we do know that we have to achieve big numbers around broadband infrastructure, seeing that it's also a capital intensive project. Other issues, we have a eCADA program, which is centered around building capacity amongst young people, and then allocate these young people to schools and health centers. We have piloted this project in 7 provinces in 2008-09. Due to funding, we did not continue with it this year. But once funding is available, we know that this project can contribute immensely to job creation as well. So working with already government centers, it is possible to just do that. Set-top box manufacturing strategies here, this is what we're talking about, manufacturing decoders and make sure that these decoders are accessible to people. There's an estimate of 24,000 jobs which could be created there, spending that allocation of 400 million. And also this allocation of funding is also linked to what has been allocated by Treasury currently. So in terms of funding there, this is funding that has already that is already been allocated to the department. And in terms of set-top box manufacturing, the total of that program, we know that it is around 2.4 billion up to the completion of the project. So that 400 million is not the totality of what has been approved by cabinet, but only what has been allocated. We also have activities around e-cooperatives. This focuses largely on young people, get trained, ask them to form an e-cooperative, and ensure that they can be deployed to do certain work in municipalities and centers. BPO is a big one, which we believe we could build capacity building there. BPO, indeed, is a program that relates to how our cost to communicate works. We know that a flourishing BPO industry works in such a way that where there is a return on investment, companies are willing to go and do establish call centers, and therefore they employ many people. So that's part of our focus there. Animation program, this is a new area. We want to accelerate this to compete with our peer countries like India and Egypt, as well as, for instance, Australia, who are big in this industry. But we want to make a direct contribution to mainly ensure that you are able to spread the people amongst provinces and to also cover language development, because animation contributes immensely to language development, particularly focusing on indigenous languages which have been marginalized over time. So this program, we do hope that on an annual basis we could contribute to about in the next 3 years, 30 million or so, working with our entities like NEMISA. The post office, indeed, the post bank rollout is a very big one there, because every post bank outlet has to be manned by people. It has to be established in such a way that it is able to service people just like any other bank. And so we have estimated that at a very conservative level, we can actually create about 72,000 jobs when this program is rolled out. So these are the areas we have identified, and Dr. Bessop, back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Piri. So, Honorable Chairperson, what can be seen from this is that we have a process whereby we think big in terms of policy studies, but we really go right down into communities where we create the jobs, and we try to find these linkages so that we don't only, you know, deal with high-level policies, but also the impact at the community level in terms of job creation and the skilling of people. Many of the things, we're also embarking on a very new initiative that is called Creative Industries. Now, the creative industry in the world is a multi-billion rand industry. It's about animation, digitalization, content development. It's about digital activities. And thousands and millions of people are being employed. So as part of our job creation and skilling program, we will get people into this new industry, creative industries. That is, in its beginning in South Africa, very interesting things happening. But the department has decided that we should have a more focused attention on creative industries where we can accommodate many, many young people, especially young people in new types of jobs where they have to use computers in a big way. So there is an opportunity for us to deal with the social media matters that I've referred to. Okay, next. So not only are we getting these flags, these six flags of projects, those are the projects that we will zoom in on, that we will have to deliver, okay, come rain or sunshine. But then we also have other serious key priorities. The six flagships, and then we have a number of key projects that we also have to focus on. Also, in terms of creative industries. It's also about radio and television. It's also about content development for radio and television. And I think our community radios and other facilities can play a very, very important role as a foundation to establish a creative industry in South Africa. So the other strategic priorities for us, and I will not go into too much detail on them, is, of course, the policy and regulatory reform. That will always be a key matter for the department. And one of the key matters dealt with this year is to come up with an integrated ICT policy framework. At the moment, we're sitting with ICT policies in different areas, but what we need and what is happening in other countries is to come up with an integrated, we talk about the converged ICT environment, but we don't have a converged ICT policy or strategy for the country. So that is very important because, I mean, technology is it's not only about telecommunications. It's also about other ICTs that we will have to consider in bringing under the umbrella of one policy framework. Spectrum management, that is very, very important if you talk about broadcasting digital migration, if you talk about broadband, if you talk about all of those things. How do we manage the available spectrum that we have in the country? Cybersecurity is very, very important for us. It's becoming more important. People are, doing all sorts of illegal things via the internet, and we have to make sure that we get our cyber environment secure. A policy, draft policy has been developed, is currently being discussed with other security departments in government, and it will be released soon. Then, of course, what is important, I've mentioned it, stabilizing the public entities in alignment with government priorities. That is a key high-level project for us. We establishing a new branch in a department to ensure that we have the right human resources available to ensure that we give proper direction and strategic direction to our SOEs as the delivery arms of the department, but also to make sure that their strategies are in alignment with government programs and projects, that we make sure that we have the capacity in the department to monitor what they're doing, to evaluate what they're doing, and to provide strategic direction. Next. There's another new focus in the department. We hear a lot about climate change, the new growth path, talking about the green economy, and of course, there's a lot that the ICTs in the Department of Communications can do to contribute to the green economy in the country and also to establish a green economy, ICT economy industry in the country. And what we will do this year is to really do the necessary research. Nothing is happening at the moment systematically in the country around green ICTs. We will make sure that we initiate the debates, the discussions, and also to see what kind of skills we need to develop and how we can develop the green economy or the green ICT part of that economy to create jobs and creating wealth. Then, of course, what remains a serious matter for us in the department is reducing the cost and improving the quality and availability of and usage of ICTs. Again, going forward in our HR plan, we've built this into, especially as far as the usage and uptake of ICTs are concerned, but also we have a continuous focus on the cost issues, and I think we all see that there's more competition in the market, prices are coming down, it's becoming more, it's not where we want it to be, but I think we play a serious facilitating role in that environment to make sure that costs will come down. E-connectivity, that is a program where we go full out to ensure that we connect health centers, that we connect schools. That is a big program for us in the department, again in collaboration with the Department of Health and the Department of Basic Education. We focus on e-connectivity. Next. Of course, it's important for us in terms of job creation that we focus on our SMME development, and we will soon embark on a process to just understand all these incentives announced by the President in his State of the Nation address, how we can utilize all those incentives in terms of supporting SME development, but also in terms of supporting other big corporations so that we can, in the ICT environment, so that we can create the much-needed jobs. Next. Of course, our international relations. We have just, entered the BRIC countries, it's now BRICS, and, of course, as the Department of Communications, operating in a global ICT environment, in a global ICT industry, we need to understand that we have to play a very important role in the BRICS environment, but also the IPSA, the India and Brazilia, South Africa, China grouping. Those countries are investing seriously in ICTs. They are, really doing very well. And we need to learn from them, and they can also learn from us. But I think we have to make sure that in our international relations, we understand what they're doing. We need to understand our international, our interest in the ITU and other organizations that we can benefit from those memberships. Next. I think before we get to the financial information, I think, Honorable Chairperson, a question that that comes to us regularly is, but where are we now? What do you measure? Do you understand what's happening now in terms of creating a foundation for going forward? And I think for the first time we can say, and we will later on give you a more detailed analysis, but I think in two or three slides, Mr. Piri, who is doing this work from the PNC side, to give you a sense of what we're talking about when we talk about the e-barometer. How we measure and where we are actually at this point in time. We always hear that the international rankings done by other people, I think for the first time we can indicate that we've done our work ourselves. Mr. Piri?
Chairperson, again, just this is a measurement that also relates to how would we know if we are achieving the Millennium Development Goals, specifically Target 18, which speaks to the information or technologies made available to people, and in particular information and communication technologies. So this is our focus in terms of the MDG goal. That MDG goal also gives us three targets. For instance, it asks us to look at how we're doing in terms of internet, how we're doing in terms of broadcasting. And in this case, we have expanded because the World Summit on Information Society also gave us a broader framework of a program of action, also referred to as the Geneva Plan of Action and the Tunis Plan of Implementation. So we have looked at that and to tailor make what the International Telecommunications Union always uses as indicators to determine where countries are. We began this work in 2008 and we adopted 35 indicators to tell us exactly what is it that we are doing. Are we doing better? Are we sliding down? And so in that slide, what you will see, I'll just give you a hint over some of the indicators that we look at. And in fact, in this barometer index, which is composed of five sectors, That is the ICT sector focus, which will also include industry and business. Government, how is government utilizing or adopting ICTs? How are we doing in terms of increasing penetration in education? How are the individuals at homes accessing ICTs, and what is the impact? So household as well, how are we doing in terms of PC penetration, mobile technologies, and so on, and to include community. With that, then we have been able to get an aggregate sort of indication of what, on an annual basis, if we continue to roll out all of these things or activities or technologies that enables people to interact with information on a daily basis, what is it that we get? We then call this annual growth rate, a compound annual growth rate, which tells us, are we doing bad or worse? I could give you a hint that, for instance, one of the indicators we look at is the percentage of over 16 people who have access to a cell phone. So they will be measuring mobile penetration throughout the country. Another one would be, for instance, a percentage of people over 16 who have access to an email in the past 4 weeks. So, for instance, are people accessing information through email and all of that? And at the end, we have been able to understand as to what has happened between 2000 up to 2009. I think the first statement to make is that we have done so well between 2000 and 2006 because we have been rolling out multi-purpose telecenters, we have been rolling out telecenters as well, where people can easily go in numbers and access internet. We have also increased our rollout for infrastructure for people accessing radio, although, as we indicated in the last slide, we do have about between 5 million people who still don't have access to radio per se. Our mobile penetration has also increased over time, but when you compare the rate at which we are growing in between, for instance, 2006 to 2009, we are also seeing that we are not doing good as well as we should. For instance, it is very, penetration of ICTs in government has been very slow. Other comparator countries are actually doing much better in terms of implementing e-government strategies, and these are the indications that we are not focusing on how we can ensure that people access services through government online.
Or can I interrupt? I think we are now at 11:30,
yes,
and then we must work towards finalizing, concluding, because we've got a lot of questions, and we would like you to answer all questions. So if you can just, you know, hurry a little bit.
Yes, sir. So to conclude there, this e-barometer index, in summary, says that, for instance, the sectors that I have mentioned there, between 2000 and 2005, have been growing at 5.1 rate by in 2009. And between 2000 and 2006, the growth in this compound annual growth rate has been averaged at 3.1%, which is a little bit slower compared to other comparator countries. And between 2006 and 2009, the growth rate has also decreased to about 1.29%. Chair, I will just conclude on that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Piri. Just very briefly, the financial information, and then we conclude with the key challenges.
Thanks, Dr. Veso. Just briefly, on slide number 52, it just indicates the MTF baseline allocation for the next for the MTF period.
I think the figures are indicated there, first year being 1.8 billion, 1.7 with a slight decrease and increasing by 7.5 to 1.8. I won't go into the other slides. Can you put the next one? This is just basically a breakdown in terms of the allocation as to which branch gets how much and what percentage does it form of the budget. I think we can go to the next. I think the important slide is this one, Chair, just to indicate in the financial year 2011-12, how is the money going to be allocated. As you can see, the large portion of the funds go to the entities at 1.2 billion, followed by the infrastructure branch, and the rest of the allocations will be different branches within the department. I think that's basically the breakdown for... And the very last one, Honourable Chair, would be the breakdown per entities for the next 3 years to say, for example, ICASA, 11, 12, 12, 13, 14, how much, Fintech, USASA, SAPO, SABC, Channel Africa, and MISA. It's just basically a breakdown in terms of how they're going to be allocated funding for the next 3 years. I think that should be all. Thanks, Dr.
Thank you, Mr. Blakansi. And to conclude, Honourable Chairperson, just focusing on the key challenges that we're facing and the mitigating measures, how we will deal with it. Of course, we during the financial year, or the key challenge that we're facing is actually human resource capacity constraints. We have a prolonged finalization of the DDT standards, as you've could see, you know, with an impact on our spending patterns. We have a problem, like many departments, in terms of our state-owned enterprises as a delivery arms of government, in department in particular. Also, I think we need to understand and mention the instability that we had during the first half of the financial year, in terms of staff morale, suspension of key senior managers, and all those negative things that we had to face, and all of those resulted in delays in certain projects and related expenditure. But I mean, we can announce, and as you can see from our current expenditure rate, projects are now being implemented. We're spending. And we're back on track. What we doing, I mean, first of all, last year, a main focus was to just stabilize the environment after June, July. Following that, we've put in place additional management structures in the department, right from the EXCO meeting with the ministers, right down to branch management. The departmental budget adjudication committee has been reconstituted, so the management structure in the department has been revitalized, redesigned, and then also the recruitment of critical posts has commenced. We've advertised the post of the Director General, and that is being dealt with at this point in time from the minister side. We're interviewing at the moment positions that we've identified as critical to the functioning of the department. That is ongoing. We've concluded the institutional review process in the department. We have now linked the structure to the department strategy, and that is being finalized, ready to go to the DPSA. And, of course, we have prioritized our SOE oversight so we can ensure that we have our SOEs to, together with the DOC, deliver on our mandate and our strategy. I think perhaps it is important, the last slide, Honourable Chairperson, that we also talk about our engagement with this committee. I think it is important that in the end that we deliver on our programs and projects in provinces, in rural areas. It's very important to us. And I think what will be of great assistance to us, if this committee can also assist, and members of the committee can assist in creating the awareness in provinces, so that people can understand, you know, that ICTs is not only to switch on a computer, but that we can really improve the quality of life of people, and it is a major focus for us, and also that we, through ICTs, can create jobs. And also through this committee, I think we need to be open and welcome suggestions as to what we can do better. I think it is important that when we get here under these conditions next time, that we have maps that we can indicate to you what exactly is happening where in provinces. We put together a geographical information systems map. As I've said, to engage constituencies on the positive impact of ICTs to its use and usage and uptake. So that's, Honourable Chairperson, what we have to present here. The rest of the pack is the detail in terms of the strategic framework for the department. Thank you.
Honourable members, that was the presentation of the strategic plan of the Department of Communication. Thank you very much, Dr. Vessel and your team. Now, members, Honorable Sibande, followed by Honorable Mlenzana, followed by Honorable Jacob, then Honorable Hruneba.
I don't know whether you are going to restrict me with questions, but only one or two or more. First one, I'd like to thank the department by giving us this information, but no matter, it's not complete. I feel it's still not complete. Practically, to the point, I will ask a question to you, Chairperson, about your e-barometer. I'm a little bit concerned. I don't know what system are you using in order to measure and to come to conclude on this. For an example, if you check well all these former homelands places, if you check the population there, and if you check about the issue of access to all things which you mentioned, for example, it's still very difficult to some of the areas to get a radio, simple radio. And also, you spoke about emails, and you gave statistics that people who are having access to email like this and this, I don't think it's correct. And I'm a little bit concerned, ma'am, because the department, all the entities are being led by the department. We voted from 1994. How many years from 94 till now? Whereby in the very same country, people are not treated the same. That's where I've got a problem, if you can correct us. That why is it happening like that? I'll put an example. Now, not long ago, in 2010, it was an embarrassment to South Africa, whereby some kids somewhere who wanted to watch TV, who took a razor into a house because of they don't have access to some of the things, and then they suffocated, they died. You still remember the story? That is a practical example. That I'm concerned because sometimes the measurement, you concentrate strictly in the urban areas, but you don't come to the rural areas. And then also, ma'am, my question, it would be about in page 6, where you spoke about the community radio stations. I don't know. Actually, I will ask maybe the department to define for us what do they mean exactly, or the clarity of how many community radio stations. I'll put a practical example. You know, in some areas, like you, I'll put an example, the radio call. You can open your radio anywhere you can find it, but I think it's a community radio station, it's not a national radio. I'm subject for correction.
but I don't know whether do you have, if you can also help us to provide us about statistics that so many community radio stations and were in control. And another one is, I wanted you to find out, you spoke about the set-top boxes. When you spoke about the set-top boxes, I wanted you to find out that whether are we ready, are we ready as South Africans for migration to digital system, from analog to digital system? Because sometimes we are so fast to introduce things. So I'll put a practical example. Remember when they introduced this, dishes for some people who doesn't have whatever. And it is very exuberant because it's very expensive to buy a dish in some of the areas. With the set-top box, I don't know. I don't know what is happening. Because I'm not sure whether, are we ready now? Lastly, I'll try to summarize them, ma'am, after a lot. Lastly, I wanted to, yes, I will agree. Already, I'm happy to acknowledge about the issue of the post bank. For I would put in a summary. For the issue of the borrowing policy, I wonder whether do we have any strategy to attract more people to it in order to protect people from the sharks, from money laundering. Because if we don't control it in that regard, we can have a nice structure which would not serve the purpose of the people. I'll put it there. Maybe I'll come next round.
Thanks, Dr. Kim, and thanks to the department of led by the acting DG, Dr. Zeko. With the hope that the Hollywood kind of an arrangement would one day come to an end. Chairperson, Honorable Spande always raises this concern of, you know, what is BRICS? What is IPSA? And all. Because, you know, these are unlike those old Bantu education types of arrangements where we would know they would be written and would be memorized. But now each department would come up with its own thing. I guess it's deliberate confusion. Just to put a high-level kind of presentation so that we will limit questions through high-level presentation. Some of the questions Chairperson have been covered by Honorable Swande, but just to put emphasis maybe on this implementation of the set-up boxes, if it could be, he is asking readiness. I want to put it maybe the other way. Where are we? You would hear suspension of the implementation of the project for whatever reason and all. I'm coupling this question by maybe alerting the department that when they brief the portfolio committee, so we, as these warm bodies are not there, but we are there. And we would get all that information. And when we listen to them talking to us, we would always measure their input as against what they said in February when they were presenting the portfolio committee. And then we would want to maybe to measure as to what it is that has done. For instance, on the question of let me just pick one as an example. The question of your irregular staff appointment. How many of these irregular appointments were actually there? I know the department didn't want to tell us those things, which are very negative. And it's upon us to dig up that information. What action has been taken against the members of staff who irregularly appointed such individuals? And as I just said, the department promised the portfolio committee that by come and March, all this would have been settled and finalized. Now, what is the status quo? Where are we now, as far as that is concerned? Can we got maybe through the acting DDG finance as to the cost of these irregular appointments and the litigation thereof, so that we will try to curb whatever. What steps have been taken to curb further improper financial, I would say, implementation, wasteful expenditure, fraudulent, irregular, and all. That's one part of it. The second one would be understanding that the department, though we had asked to the secretary that they should take us a little back. Yes, they did, but to a lesser extent, with your expense. Hence, we will then have to ask some of the questions which we were interested that they would brief us about. For instance, you would remember, Chairperson, last year we raised the question of the alignment of the state-owned enterprises focus with government priorities, where we said our oversight visits could tell that what the thinking of the state-owned enterprise was not in line with what government per se is actually saying in terms of priority. And the department promised through the strike plan of the 2010-2011 that they would monitor performance of these SOEs against the set key performance indicators as per their corporate plan. Now, one had expected that in the presentation by the department would be told that yes, these SOEs were actually monitored, if at all they were, or no. And if they were monitored, what was the overall outcome when measured against the KPI, as I've indicated? Maybe, Chairperson, I've got two more questions, if you allow. Can I continue? Can I?
Yes.
Okay, sure. I'll try to be a little brief with this. Also, when you look at the last year's strike plan, there were policy imperatives there, particularly linking to provinces and municipalities, where you are talking of gender and children, e-cater intake for training course, e-skilling and all. What progress has been made in relation to all that in terms of monitoring and implementation? If we could be told, yes, we are told here that there are programs in place. Lastly, Chair, with your respect, I have seen the slide on job creation, particularly relating to the digital broadcasting migration plan. But if the question of sustainability of the jobs could be, if we could get details, Chairperson, it's like a very, very wishy-washy kind of an information that we are given. Of course, as I said, maybe it's a high level kind of a presentation, not getting into detail. We are going to conference the Chairperson must be able, when we go back home, to say this is what the criteria that is going to be applied, even when you are dealing with that kind of a job information program. Thanks, Chairperson.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair.
I'm going to be short, like Honorable Member is short and tall. I'm going to be short. I'm just worried with the presentation that we have been presented to us, because in the State of the Nation of State of the Nation address, the President said this year is the year of job creation. But if you look at the presentation, seemingly there is no focus, really focus on job creation. In slide 39, they've tried to address that. But somewhere they say total jobs created. I don't know where it has already been created, those jobs. And they don't tell us to say, if you say 8,000 jobs, will they meet the target by next year? Because I think that's very important, that we need to know if they say it's 8,400 jobs, will they meet that target next year? The other issue, no mention is said by state-owned enterprises, because it is a department that plays an oversight role on state-owned enterprises, and they also allocate funds to those state-owned enterprises. They are not saying anything. What SSA will be doing, what South African Broadcasting, how many jobs they will be creating. So I think it's not focused. This program is not focused. It's not saying anything on job creation. Because if we don't do that, next year we'll be getting different stories. To say I was not permanent, and it is then that I started, and so on and so on. I think we need to be very focused. And it's been said that the department has been stabilized. So it's been stabilized. Let's get the results. The second one, it does not say anything about provinces. If you say you are going to create these jobs, in what provinces? Because as we are saying, we are representing provinces. We need to know how many jobs will the Free State get out of all this estimation that have been given to us. Because if we don't do that, I think it will be a futile exercise. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. It seems to me all of us are on the same topic. That is my very first question as well, is job creation. And I think that is the main issue in South Africa at this stage. I do not know, I'm a bit confused about the calculations around this job creations, and it's also on slide 39. When you present this whole situation around the jobs, how are you going to create jobs, you mention it in 20 years' time, we will have 100,000 jobs in 20 years' time. And then the next moment we get onto slide 39, and there you said 151,000 jobs over 3 years. So I do not know how the calculations work on that specific slide. If it's 100,000 jobs in 20 years' time, so then it would take us about 10,000 jobs per year. And here you said, so it's about 50,000 jobs per year on this slide 39. So if you can answer me that, I'll really appreciate it. And then I want to know when the reconstruction in the department will be finished. So you are busy with it, and if you see all the deputies here this morning, I wonder how the department will it be the same people in a year's time, or as the previous speaker also said, maybe we sit with a lot of new people here. So when will it finish? It must be some other time it must be finished so that we can carry on. The next one is, maybe you can tell us a bit more, why are cell phone costs so high? I think that we can do something about that. We've got a lot of different companies in this to handle the situation in South Africa,
but it's still high. So the cost is not really coming down. If you can help us with that. You talk about the leading position. We take a leading position in slide 25. And I want to know, where is this leading position? Is it in South Africa? Or is it in Africa? Or is it all over the world? I want to know where we stand as South Africa in this house situation. The post bank, this is all my things is a short question, so on number two. I want to know about the post bank. The post bank, we talk about it and we've got the bill and everything's in place now, but how are the people on the ground accept the post bank? Are they going to use it, especially our rural areas? Do we have everything in place in our rural areas so that the people can make use of it and do everything in place? The next one is, what is the reason for the slow growth showed in slide 48 on page 24? So there was also, you talk about the slow growth and you give us the figures there. It is one point something. What is the reason that we have this slow growth in the department? Then I think when we look into this whole situation, we must look into the rural areas. And that is where our problem is. That is where people haven't got jobs and we must create jobs. And that will be difficult for the department to get into the rural areas and start working there with the people and create jobs. That's much easier to do that in the urban areas as into the rural areas. And that must be a challenge for the department so that we can keep our people in our rural areas. That is very important for South Africa, that we have people in our rural areas. And when we create jobs, I think that is where we must start it, is in the rural areas, and to see that we can keep the people there. And then the last one, it is only a sentence, one little sentence, and that's also in slide 39, and that is the set top boxes. You've said there 24,300 jobs, and it is over 400 million rand we put into this situation. But at the end of the day, when the boxes are manufactured and it is in place, what happened to that jobs? So it is not sustainable jobs. It is only temporary jobs. If you can answer that question as well. Thank you.
No, thank you. Just three quick questions. One is to reemphasize what Honorable Mlenzana spoke about. It's important for us to be clarified on the systems and mechanisms that have been put in place to fight corruption. And it doesn't assist us a lot, because it would be pointless for us to be given a report that tells us about maladministration within the department, but still we don't get the concrete program that seeks to deal with maladministration, whatever problems that are there in summary corruption that is taking place, or alleged corruption. The second one, Chair, is the digital migration. We have been to Japan, or the committee has been to Japan. And in Japan, the committee was then briefed by the deputy minister, if not the minister then, to say that one of the things that they were following is that South Africa at some point gave a commitment to work with or to use the Japan modems or instruments, especially for purposes of that migration. And if you can remember, the one that they demonstrated to us was that small little box that could be used by anybody in the rural areas where you can get a signal and still watch TV
and get information, whether it be radio and so forth. But later on, there were some changes that took place. Of course, I remember you did not commit anything, but I'm just raising it because it's now an opportunity because we have the department here. Probably they will be able to give us some more information of exactly what happened. If there were changes, what were those changes? If there was a commitment and they reneged on that commitment, what was the reason and so forth? If the products that they will be using are better than those of the Japanese, what would be that? And whether if, on the basis of what is happening right now in Japan, is there a possibility of reconsideration? I'm not trying to lobby for Japanese products here. But from a humanitarian point of view, whether if the department would be able to consider that, and that be seen as part of our contribution to the reconstruction and development of the country against the disaster that is taking place there. I'm sure the third one, Chair, if Honorable Grunewald was in Japan with the delegation around the issue of the post bank, he would be speaking it. He would have phrased the question differently to say, whilst we acknowledge and accept and understand and ululate for the approach on the post bank, we just hope that at the end it will not take the direction that the Japanese Post Bank took, taking into account how wonderful it started, how it worked for the working class and the poor, how it was beneficial to them only for your, in South African terms, your elite, your entrepreneurs, being at the helm of the institution, noting how much and the extreme generation of capital and sustainability that the Post Bank in Japan was able to become, that later on they then decided to again take the gear approach of the privatization of the Post Bank, knowing very well that it was just a javelin that was being thrown. They were waiting for those shares on the other side. And the very same people who approved the privatization of the Post Bank of Japan are the ones today that own the majority of shares in that bank. So I think Honorable Grunewald, if you were there, he would have said, please don't go that route. We don't want to see that. We want to see an institution that is willing to work for our people. We want an institution that is going to make them, that is going to ensure that the unbankable people in South Africa have got access to banking facilities and are able to get their money in a secured way and so forth. It must be at the center of development and servicing the interests of the poor in the rural areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Mabitsa, before you continue, I also wanted to correct Honorable Grunewald. They didn't say in 20 years' time. They said in 2020.
Yeah.
That means it's 9 years
from now.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I'd like to say is just an emphasis on what the president of the country has pronounced, that 2011 is the year for job creation.
Job.
And by job creation, according to my perception, he didn't mean filling in of vacant posts. It's something new, jobs for the needy, not filling in of posts. I just wanted to emphasize on that so that we do not have a figures that are not correct, including filling in of posts. Thank you very much. Mine is on Centec. You know, we went to Sikukun, taking Parliament to the people. When we visited the communities in rural areas, they were able to buy TVs, but every day they dust those TVs, making them beautiful. but there is no signal.
Mm.
Because Centec, if maybe you can explain whether this low budget allocated to Centec won't affect the digital migration process. And also the department, you stated that the department will provide 500 set top boxes, if I'm correct. But that 5 million poor household will be provided with set top boxes. But with this Centec low budget, will this happen also? Will the department, Centec be able to assist this poor household, of which I don't understand what you really mean by poor household? If you can explain that, what is being meant by poor household, and also the hubs, where I think it is mentioned that in the strategic plan that is it two or three provinces that have got this ICT hubs. Where are they situated in the provinces? And if you can give us the detailed information on those hubs, and when are they going to go to other provinces? Also, I'm worried about the key challenges facing the Department of Communications. The suspensions, how long are the suspensions? How long should this suspension take place? And then, how possible can the department officials, how possible can be faction in the department? Because if you don't embark into sections, you'll be able to do the right job. But what measures are being put in the department to be able to do away with those factions? And the ad hoc redeployment of staff, it's also worrying. It is also worrying. If you can just explain, you know, briefly to us, how do you intend, you know, solving these key challenges, because they are the key challenges in the department. And with these challenges, definitely you won't be able to progress. Thanks. And Honorable Mlenzan, in the gender part, you didn't mention anything. I think you said 210 breakdown per province. If you can give us breakdown on gender per province, I would really not sleep if I don't ask that one. The gender part of it, per province, and in some other ways you've been saying seven provinces, but we want to know exactly in these provinces how many, what is happening in these provinces, the specific information in provinces, because I want to stand in front of my community, in my constituency, to say the department, if I accept your request of us working together in our constituencies, I must be able to have exact information of what the department has done in Mpumalanga, what the Department of Communication has done in the Eastern Cape, in Limpopo, in the Northern Cape. But let me just say, Honorable Tau arrived late, but he did put an apology earlier. He's from the Northern Cape. In the Northern Cape, I was talking to him yesterday about an area where there is no communication, where the people are staying very far. They are isolated. I would like to know whether the department has maybe took some means of going in provinces to the rural areas. For example, the rural area I'm talking about, those people are using mode of a donkey, as a mode of transport and a bicycle. But they can't buy radio, they can't buy TV, because there is no network. But if you mention in your documents, rural areas, we are from these rural areas. We want to see the actions in these rural areas. If you can even start implementing from the rural areas, we will be, you know, very happy. Not starting, you put these things in very beautiful pictures. They were beautiful. I think all of us saw these beautiful pictures on the slide. But we want the rural areas to be your priority, because that's where we come from. We know what is happening. We can't talk of Johannesburg and talk of Nelspruit. We must talk of KwaShabalala. KwaShabalala in Hazyview, Emahushu, that area on Arabotau that I was talking about, I forgot the name, but maybe you can mention the name so that the department must send a team to go and see those people there so that they can have a plan of saying we are going to assist these people in the Northern Cape so that they have a way. I think they've got they've got money to buy TV, but they can't because now they don't have the signal. What is the name of the...
It's your Kubus area. The end of it.
Yeah.
So 600 or 400 Ks away from the Western Cape.
Yeah, if you can send a team there to go and have a look.
More than 800, 900 Ks.
Yeah.
But is it the point that you should be making there? I mean, in terms of the transformation and developmental attitude of the department. I think that should be the crux of the issue. I mean, I feel so bad, comrades. Let me be honest with you. You go to an area, you engage with people, areas of that nature. And I think that the department is aware that in all our provinces, which areas do people suffer with signal? I mean, you get into an area, Mzana, you speak to the people there, they tell you that in order for me to... A woman says, I was raped. I had to get on a donkey cart and travel about 20 or 15 Ks in order to get a signal to call the police. I mean... Hey, Buffett, what's up?
I would like us to consider areas without those signals right across all provinces, not only the ones mentioned there, so that the department should go, it's their homework to go and identify such areas in all provinces, because here we represent all provinces. Thank you, Honorable Mabija. I think we were making an example. It's for the department now to go and sit down when they send the teams. The team will go to the deep rural areas of South Africa, not only to Sekhukhune or to Northern Cape, but to the deep rural areas of South Africa in all 9 provinces. And we would actually like to get the report back, to get the report back on whether the department did go there, because this will actually help us to say we are really serving the people of the whole country in rural areas, not only on paper, not only in black and white, but physically. So can we... have you commit yourself to say you're going to make a research in all rural areas so that when you talk of rural areas, you understand exactly what you are talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you for all the questions. Hopefully we can answer all of them. My colleagues will also be ready to come in where it's necessary. I think to start off with the rural areas, I think there's the department in its very essence is developmental. That is why one of the flagship projects in the department is about ICTs in rural development, and we have a strategy to deal with rural development matters. I've also indicated that the flagship on broadband is not to provide broadband in urban centers. Urban centers are providing for themselves. How do we get broadband into rural areas? Now, it's very expensive. You know, to lay fiber is like building roads. You know, you don't have tarred roads all over the country. So it's a matter of how do you get there, with what kind of funding. The same with signal distribution. Sometimes it is just impossible because of the landscape, because of the geography of the environment. If you have valleys and mountains and also to get the technology out into rural areas, that's also very expensive. I mean, you see the limited budget that we have. So it's not that the department is not willing. In fact, we're now piloting a broadband coherent project in Musinga in KZN. We want to learn from that pilot how to actually get broadband into rural areas. We have just worked with communities in Rimfastmark. I've been working in rural areas for most of my life in terms of getting ICTs into rural areas. So, but it's not an inexpensive exercise. It's the nature of the technology, but the willingness is there, and we must, all our programs at the moment, and Mr. Temba, Peter can come in, our focus is on rural areas. In the Northern Cape, in Mpumalanga, we have this rural development program with the Finnish people. I've met with the DG of the Northern Cape 2 weeks ago as to how we can use ICTs in the province. So it's not that we're not aware of the problems, but the rural-urban divide is not only a South African divide. It's a problem that we can learn from many other countries. It's a problem worldwide that you have this divide, and ICTs can close that divide. And that is what we're aware of, and we're working on that. Jobs, job creation, I mean, there is like government can't create jobs. Like we all know, government can create a space for the private sector and for other people to create the jobs. Now, that is true for government, and it's true for the Department of Communications. Now, it is more so for the Department of Communications. We're not a job creation department like, for example, transport or electricity. What we can do is to create the space and develop the policies for the ICT sector to grow, and for the ICT sector then to create the jobs. What we're talking here is our contribution as a department. Where we can create jobs, we do it. And we've identified a number of areas where we can create, even if it's 20 or 100 or 400 jobs, that is what we can do. So the Department of Communications is not a department that can directly contribute to jobs, but we can create the environment for other corporates and so on, with the right policies, with the right incentives for them to grow and to create jobs. So that is a basic fundamental problem that government has. So, but we are aware of this, and it occupies our minds day and night. How do we contribute to creating jobs? How do we create jobs ourselves through our different programs? The sustainability of jobs, for example, the DTT, or the Broadcast and Digital Migration, we're creating an industry. I've said we're creating, using this opportunity to migrate, using the opportunity as a catalyst, a starting point to create an industry that will sustainably create jobs, because you will always have people to repair these things, people to develop new set-top boxes, people who have to install these set-top boxes, so there will be a whole industry, a research industry as well, around set-top box electronic manufacturing. So that will definitely a sustainable industry that we need to get going. Now, the barometer, that is difficult, you know, to define and to come up with KPIs, especially if you go into deep rural areas. But what we need to understand, and we can see from the graph, that overall, in terms of access to ICTs, there was growth. But in certain, if you can go to the graph, there are certain areas where over the past few years we've stagnated. That is why in our international rankings we're actually going down. But now we know, at least generally, where we're going wrong and what we must do. Now again with the rural areas, the Maraca Institute, the CSIR, they're doing wonderful work in terms of what they call mesh networks, wireless networks in rural areas, in order for rural areas not to be dependent on fiber optic in the ground. Because to put fiber optic in the ground is very, very expensive and depends on the private sector. They will not put fiber optic in the ground if they can't make a profit. But with wireless technology, we're now going into rural areas where people can access broadband wirelessly. So there are many initiatives, and I think what we need to do in future when we design this kind of report back is to rather going down levels in terms of what is happening on the ground, like you said, Chairperson. So there are many initiatives of that nature, and if you measure, you can only measure general trends, and those trends we now understand what is happening in order for us to say, well, it is clear that in government, over the past few years, there's a stagnation, there's no growth in the use of ICTs in government. So there's a problem. So we need to address that. And if government uses ICTs, the people will use ICTs. So we're starting to understand now for the first time what is happening in the country and better understand the rural-urban divide. Then, emails, and I think I'm fully aware of the problem. That we talk from an urban perspective, and in our deep rural areas, people don't have the basics in terms of communications. And that is our concern. That is why we went to Rimfasmark and said, how can we provide that to communities there with connectivity? And they connected. They can they connected to the world. So, that is something we now can roll out in other communities, and so we have many other communities. STBs, set-top boxes, of course, government will subsidize. You know, we've identified a number of people in the country with TVs that will not be able to afford a new set-top box, and that is why we're going to subsidize people to get set-top boxes. I think that's important to understand. The post bank, it came up quite a number of times. The issue there is, and it's very true, we should be careful how we manage the post bank. It doesn't become another bank. And that is why, built into the Post Bank Act, there's now an act, there's what must now happen in the next few months is to come up with lending, borrowing, and investment policies so that we know exactly under what conditions people can borrow, under what conditions the bank will invest, so that we really cater for the poorest of the poor. And that will be accommodated in the policies that we will develop. So it's not a free-for-all that, you know, the rich will again use the post bank to its own benefit. That will be dealt with through the PCC with our policies. So I've dealt with the STBs. I don't know whether at this stage any one of my colleagues would like to add something.
Set up post quickly before we leave it out. The Japanese thing.
Oh yes, perhaps Mr. Piri can answer that.
Yes, thank you, members, honorable members and acting DG. On this difficult issue of the Japanese standard,
the ISDPT standards. You see, I think there could be factual inaccuracies in the way in which the Japanese would have dealt with the matter. I just want to inform you that in July, SADC sent a team to go and investigate the European-based standard, which is DVB, the Digital Video Broadcasting Standard, and the ISDPT standard, which is Japanese standard, just to do a comparison. But why the issue? The issue arises because South Africa, together with Africa as a whole, as a region, forms part of what we call Region 1 of the world, which constitutes how the airwaves are able to be allocated spectrum to use for television, for radio. This is what we refer to as a regional band. Now, when the world develops standards, normally develops standards for specific regions, because those standards can work in those regions. Japanese standard is not suitable for this region until it is amended. Now, because South Africa made a commitment to the World Telecommunication Union about which standard, together with Africa, are you going to use when you do the migration from analog to digital, simply because this standard was tested and available, it adopted a DVB-based standard, which is European. And this has evolved over history since 1974 when we started on television. So the investment by the industry in South Africa, even the decoders that you are using in your house, for instance, for DSTV, even the manufacturing capability that we have in the country, in the 5 plants that are around the country, I think 2 of them are here in Western Cape, 1 in the Eastern Cape, in East London, have invested on a DVB technology capability to manufacture. So when we went to Brazil to understand what is the benefit of the Japanese standard, we understood 2 things. One is that standard will only work on 6 megahertz of spectrum, which is not where we as South Africans operate. So in other words, if you were to take that and plug it here, you lose 2% of your radio frequency spectrum in each of the allocation. It's very important because, as you know, radio frequency spectrum is a scarce resource. That's one. Number 2, we could not see in Brazil where this implementation of ISDPT standard has been implemented. How are they implementing the set-top box manufacturing capability? What we had found was that they have indeed implemented a joint program on the manufacturing of transmitters. So the target market for them would be that they have to acquire transmission capability, which they will manufacture and send to us, and set-top boxes will send to us. And with the problem as to, because we have no experience of manufacturing that, our industry is not geared for that standard. What are you going to do? The third problem was that the International Telecommunications Union had not ratified the research test for the compatibility of that technology in this country. So SADC could not take a decision that supports that standard because the science behind it is not available for any country to look at. And on the basis of that, SADC ministers then concluded that there is no sufficient information for the country and for SADC as a whole to move from what it has already committed. The commitment was made in 2006 in the World Radio Conference. So it is not a new comment. It's whether, if now that you have an option, what would be the benefits for you? And it's a very complicated matter. I know that the Portfolio Committee also went to Brazil and London. In London, we had found that the DVB-based standard has advanced to give more spectrum resources so that you can have more digital dividend. Because in South Africa, just as Honorable Sibanda was indicating, the problem around accessing radio is the issue of the scarcity of radio frequency spectrum in that region. So once you achieve savings in this finite resource of radio frequency spectrum, you are able to allocate more national radio than what we have now. Just like you have SAFM everywhere in the corner of the country. The problem is that you have to be able to migrate and make sure that some of these services are accessible everywhere in the country. And this is important. Again, I do understand the problem that has been put on the table here. So the ISDBT standard could not be understood with these economic factors. Economies of scale are very important for us as well, because if South Africa wants to manufacture and build an industry here and create these jobs, because the executive decision has been that when you do this, you must manufacture these decoders locally. Now, if you want to also export these markets, these decoders in Africa, you have an opportunity. But you could not see that possibility of exporting to Japan, which is a country that has already its industry, like Sony, Panasonic, and all of them are already operating in Africa, and you could not see the economies of scale. Really, that's what I'm trying to say there. So the decision remained with what has been committed in 2006, and the other issue to consider was that there was a need for considering whether this shift, how does it affect the trade balance between the European Union, because the European Union was also beginning to be extremely concerned about this as well, as to why do you want to make these changes when we have a trade deficit with you? South Africa is benefiting more in the trade relation between itself and Europe as it is today, although they do want to go into other markets. So this was the complexity of the issue. And the ministers adopted that they will remain with that until new information surfaces. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thierry, for a very comprehensive overview. And I think honorable members will also understand that sometimes it is not that we don't want to go into rural areas or don't want to do things. It's in many cases dependent on availability of budget and technology. And sometimes there's just totally beyond our control. But our mindset, and that I can assure the Honorable Chairperson, our mindset is rural, and to reach out to all our people in the country.
Chairperson, give me 1 second to correct the thing of rural area. To you. You see, Dokotela, we ought to be honest. Please, this thing, I beg you, in order to continue the other thing, don't touch the issue of rural area. I'll put a practical example. You see, I understand you are saying it is expensive, all this stuff, and the like. Sometimes not true. Why I'm saying that? I'll put an example for something else. There is a pipe now, a gas pipe from Sasol, which is from Mozambique. Why is it so long distance past rural area there? It was not expensive. And why I'm raising it, Sasol is being sponsored by the government. And will come the issue of telecom. For an example, from Mpumalanga, we are next to Mozambique and Swaziland. You see a lot of, there is communication with us in Swaziland. You know, we talk about the things which are passing us like this, servicing another neighboring country instead of serving us. You must correct that one. And then also the issue of electricity. Pylons and pylons are from Kabora Pass and some of the activities assisting in the neighboring countries.
Honorable Sibanda, can I stop with that? Let's not mention electricity.
No.
We'll deal with it when Eskom
No, ma, I've made an example. I was talking in his entity is Telkom. Telkom. That's why I was making an example that they mustn't charge there. Because most of the time they are saying it's expensive, but we're able to assist the neighboring countries in SADC. But we can't assist ourselves. When this single Mr. Kukim is staying in the mountain, electricity will go, Telkom will go there and other signals will go there. But when Mr. Gorje will stay there, it's difficult, it's expensive, it must be corrected.
The there was an issue raised around BRICS and IPSA. It was definitely not to be deliberately confusing. BRICS and IPSA, I mean, those are merely economic blocks in the world at the moment. BRICS is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and they've now added South Africa to that. And I think what I tried to say there was merely that these kind of economic blocks we need to consider in developing our own international policies and strategies of engagement with these very important economic blocks. Like IPSA is the same block. I think the issues raised, Honourable Chairperson, about irregular expenditure and defections and all of those things, we've dealt with all of those things. We can report on that separately. I was not aware that we need to report on that here, but it was very, very difficult to put together a presentation, and then you have to leave out certain things. But all the things that we've mentioned here the last time, you know, the issues of concern to the department, we've dealt with, and conclusively, and other things, there are hearings in process, there are legal court cases in process. Beyond our control in terms of timelines, but we've dealt with all of the things that we've mentioned here the last time in terms of correcting it. As I said, the advertisements for posts, you know, went out, and the institutional review is coming to an end, and all of those things. Then the same with fooders expenditure, we have put measures in place to ensure that our supply chain management operates properly, that we train people, and so on. SOEs were mentioned. I think we are now really working very, very hard to have regular reports, and our finance department, Mr. Vilakasi, on a monthly basis, we receive reports, what they're doing, what they're not doing, do they comply. We feed that into the minister's office. We have regular meetings with them, bilaterals, on a quarterly basis, where we engage them and making sure, now with the strategic plans being presented, we make sure that they comply, that they align with the department's strategy, with government strategy. So that work is happening as we speak. So, and we're also trying to build now the capacity in the department to provide the SOEs with strategic direction, not only to focus on compliance. So that is happening as we speak. Of course, I understand. I think, you know, it's really, I see personally there's a need for us to perhaps this kind of overview presentation is in order, but I think we should also have a separate presentation where we go down to exactly what is happening where in the provinces and the issues that this committee is dealing with. I think that is something that we have to work on, and sometime during the new financial year, I think we should come back with a clear presentation on what is happening where, so that constituency work can happen on a solid basis. Yeah, the job creation issue always came up, but we can only try our best to create the environment and to create the jobs where we can. It was the 5 million jobs by 2020 that we were talking about. In terms of our own environment, the acting situation, that will come to an end hopefully soon, once we have the DG, the new DG appointed. The second phase of advertisement for the acting DDGs will happen, and we're already now appointing, I think, 24 people in critically defined positions in the department. So I think things are happening. Chairperson, I see that you. Can I continue? Yeah. So I think the post situation in the department will increase dramatically over the next a few months in terms of filling posts. Slide 25, it was a mention of that in terms of the technologies. Now, this research was done in South Africa, and this research indicates that by 2050, our country will have to deal with wireless technology, with fiber optic, with all of those new technologies. What is happening, that those technologies that people predicted will only be here in 4 years' time is now with us. So in other words, the point I wanted to make there is, if we talk about 2020, what kind of technology will we have in 2020? And how do we need as DOC and as committees say, well, I mean, if that is the case, how do we proactively develop our policies, our strategies, the skilling of people, education? So, and that is, technology is developing so fast that we can't catch up with it. And that is the point I wanted to make there. The post bank again was the slow growth reason 45. We can just go to slide 45. Which slide was that? Ms. Grunot, you've mentioned...
which slide is it?
You've mentioned slide 45 under the reasons for slow growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
The barometer one.
Yeah. A barometer.
What do you say?
Yeah.
48. A barometer. Yes. But if you look at that slide, what is very interesting, you know, overall, if you look at the orange at the top, we don't have it on the screen now, but if we look at that slide, it's a very important slide that we have to look at. You see, if you, there's overall growth. Let's just get to the slide because that can, it's very insightful. Yeah. You see, but if you look at the overall slide, you see here is gradual growth up to 2005, and then gradually stagnation, and then 2009 is a little bit of growth again. So overall, if we deal with the access to email, to internet, to telephone, to radio, you all put all those things together and you come up with an index, there is slow growth, okay? But what is disturbing is that what you see here in the ICT sector, it's stagnant over these years. What you see here in government, there was this year, and now government is going down in terms of usage, and this is a problem. Now you see here the green in education. There was stagnant here, and now also going down. Here you see in individuals, there's slow growth and then stagnation, and even going down. The same with households, slow growth and here stagnation. Okay, although here at the community level, we find growth, and I think, like Mr. Piri said, it is perhaps, you know, the hubs and the telecenters and the things that people access and use and so on. So although there's growth in these areas, there's stagnation. And now we understand that, you know, what are we doing in government to grow? If we can grow in these areas, this graph will grow. And that is the problem. That is the problem that we're sitting with. Now for the first time we can say, where do we need to intervene? Where do we need to to make sure that people start using ICTs? Where do we need to start skilling people to use ICTs? And that is the reason for our slow growth. We don't have growth in the other areas. Does it make sense? Yeah. And then again, in the rural areas, the sector of jobs, I've discussed it in terms of its sustainability. If we can have a successful electronics industry, all the jobs in that industry will be sustainable. And someone also raised the issue around new jobs. I think what is happening in South Africa, in many cases sometimes, people trying still to get into old jobs. We need to create new sectors. And one of the new sectors is the electronics sector. One of the new sectors we have to grow is the creative industry sector. There is new jobs. Another area for new jobs is the climate economy? The green economy. So in other words, what we need to, that's what the DOC is doing in talking to the government departments and corporates, what new jobs can we create? And now also, if you want to create new jobs, you need new skills. You can't create new jobs and people still sit with old skills. That's why the department decided on the development of the e-skills institute, so we can get e-skills for the e-world. So these are all the things that we did, our contribution to job creation, that we make sure that we have new 21st century knowledge-based economy jobs that we can create, and then to skill people for those jobs. And that is our contribution to job creation. Issues around the systems to fight corruption and so on, we've dealt with it in the department. We've dealt with the digital migration and Japan issue. The post-bank issue, we've dealt with. I think Centec, I don't know, Mr. Piri, whether you can comment on the Honorable Chairperson of Centec matter?
Yes, Honorable Chair. I think the Centec issue is very important, as you say, because the program... The program to build low power transmitters is to ensure that in those areas where you have valleys and mountains and the people are sitting somewhere down there, you put in a gap filler for these people to get TV and radio access. It's a very important program. And we have refocused that as a key priority. That's why we have it here in the strat plan. Because you will recall that previously this was a ministerial project. Recently we have done some work in KZN about this. There was a transmitter launched in Batplas. There was a transmitter launched in Northern Cape, up in the mountain there, I think somewhere after Kuruman. So all of these areas are actually key focus. The issue here is that ICASA also has to issue the spectrum for that area and make sure that we can put and approve for Centec to do that. I think in terms of the budget for Centec, Vilakazi can deal with this, but generally, the focus of Centec today is also on doing this digital transmitters, to upgrade those transmitters to make sure that they can give now a digital signal. So this digital signal will also help us to make sure that in some areas we can reach a little bit farther than we are doing now with the current system. But I think Centec is on track with this program because by this year they should be reaching at least 6% coverage of all the geographic area where people live. So this problem... otherwise, it can be reassessed. It should contribute to that. And I know that Centec has committed 740 million on this project. And this is why you couldn't just go back and take the Japanese standard, because the money on the infrastructure was already committed, that these transmitters and these digital channels will be sent back here. So it is a problem. And I mean, we know that, for instance, in areas like Northwest, this is still a problem as well out there. And this We could provide a list of where this focus is and how this program is being implemented and all of that when we come back. And I do feel that some of the information, for instance, on the project that we're doing about where we are giving jobs to young people, where we are training them in the provinces, where exactly, we need to give you a report on those things to say, yeah, we have so this person with a name is located in this municipality. We have that information that you can provide.
What we wanted, and you didn't provide us with, every time you come to the department, comes to the committee,
yeah,
that's the request that we want. You know, we represent provinces, and we must have proper information for our provinces. So I think, have we concluded the question? Yes. And we will definitely work with the department in our constituencies. We just need that information. We will request that information, constituency information. I think you've got it as the Department of Communication, as it's not the first time that we talk about ourselves and our constituencies. We usually say use the constituency offices so that information goes down to the grassroots, goes down to the real people. So our constituency contact, we will relate with you with the challenges of ICTs in our constituencies. I myself, I even had a seminar on young women in ICT and leadership sector. So you see, we are working with the department. So we will definitely, we just need that information to be sent to the constituency offices, so that people going in the office must have that information. When we are there, when we hold meetings, we inform people. But let me thank you very much, and the suggestion that you put a small team together to go and research for the areas in the most rural, in all the provinces. We will be glad if we can have that information, because definitely we're not representing a small part of where we come from. If I say I'm from Mpumalanga, I represent Mpumalanga from Kamakhegeza till Dondon, till the border. And if Sekhukhune is also, Free State is also the same, Phuthaditjhaba, wherever. So if we can get that information, even if you don't have enough money to put this signals there, but if you have that information, definitely when the minister requests the funds, he will mention that area, because other people are not aware that we've got those areas in the country. So if you can put a small team to research, to go and look and come, and we're still going to have the department, honorable members, on budget vote. So if you have that information by then, we will be happy. Thank you very much, and thank you to the members. I know there's a meeting that is waiting for us. As you know, that the NCOP, we are really stretched. We have sent the meeting left and right. Thank you very much, Mr. Bishop. And we hope you won't act for a long time. We will wish you.
Sure.
And all of you who are acting, we will pray for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members.
Now you must run. Then you must run. Okay.